The book of Daniel, chapter number 2, and verse number 31. Daniel, chapter 2, and verse number 31. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron, part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together. Note that word, together. Note when this happens. It happens on the feet. In other words, it happens in the consummation of the times of the Gentiles. Together. And became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, and fill the whole earth. Father, bless this holy book now. Thy name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. The book of Daniel, as you could expect, suffers derision from not only liberal theology, but from all the world. They make fun of it. They say it's simply a product of Israel's ability or to attempt to give themselves meaning written after the fact, that these successive Gentile kingdoms, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, that it was written after all of that and included in the canon to make them look like they had a prophet, so forth and so on. Folks, that's just a bunch of garbage. That's all it is. This is a book of prophecy. The Lord Jesus Christ said, Daniel the prophet. He called him a prophet. Now, what you have here, though, is the beginning of the Gentile kingdoms, the times of the Gentiles that started around 606 B.C., and God gives Daniel a vision of these Gentile kingdoms following one right after another. Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. Rome is split asunder, and then it winds up being smitten in its feet. And the feet, you have iron and clay, a mixture which cannot mix. And the Bible says that they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Which means that when you get to the final consummation of the Gentile kingdoms on this earth, it gets into a mysterious spiritual situation that had never existed before, quite like you're going to see. So where are we today? Well, in Revelation 13, turn there with me, chapter 13, verse 1, Revelation 13, verse 1. I stood upon the sand of the sea, and behold, a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw, now note carefully, compared with animals again, was like unto a leopard, his feet were the feet of a bear, and his mouth the mouth of a lion. The dragon, now this is what's most important. The dragon gave him his power, his seat, and great authority. Satan said to the Lord Jesus Christ, all of this is mine, and I can give it to whomsoever I will. That was not an idle boast. Satan's the god of this world. He won that ability to give, and he is going to give it to a man. And that man is the Antichrist. Antichrist means that he is against Christ, and he's set over in contradistinction to him to be a different Christ. You have the Lord's Christ, according to the book of Psalms, and then you have Satan's Christ, or the anointed of the devil. The Lord Jesus was the anointed one of God. So we have a kingdom, a Gentile kingdom. There should be no doubt in your mind that right now this world is controlled by Gentiles, not by the Jews. It's all the Jews can do in that little land over there on the eastern shore of the Mediterranean Sea to survive from one year to the next. And you're watching anti-Semitism as it raises its ugly head again. You're watching it worldwide as they start to come against Israel. They come against the Jews. Make no mistake about that. But I was around in 2000 when those two trade towers came down up there in New York. And I watched that on television live as it happened. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. And they were not Jews that flew those planes into those trade towers. They were not Jews. But since that moment, immediately, the news media, the fourth estate in this country, set about to propagandize the people. They had their own agenda, and it's been pushed now for 20 years. What's going on right now? I'll ask you some unanswered questions. What is happening right now in America? How many of you in this morning, I want you to raise your hand, have a feeling deep down inside you, there's something that's just not right. It's just not right. There's something going on. And let me assure you of this and encourage you in this fact. CBS, NBC, ABC is a waste of time. These people have an agenda. They will not give you the truth for a number of reasons. They may not know the truth. Or more than likely, it is an agenda. In other words, they are being led to give you what you get. Why? Because things are happening in your very before your very eyes that you have never seen before. Now, here we have a coronavirus. What is it? I don't know what a coronavirus is. Do you? I don't have access to a microscope. I can't see one. So I am at the mercy of science and the educational establishment and the news media to tell me what a coronavirus is. This COVID-19, called COVID-19 because of 2019 when it showed up, is supposed to be a deadly coronavirus that has infected over millions of people in the world and over 3 million people, and the figure varies depending on who you're listening to, have died as a direct result of this coronavirus. Now, just take all of that in stride, because there's a lot going on today, folks. You are being manipulated. Facts are being manipulated. We do not really know what's happening right now, but we do know this. We do know that people are dying. I know a number of people that have died directly in the last year or so. Unlike any other time in the ministry, I am watching more people die than I've ever seen die before. Something is going on. Why? Why? Why this virus? What is this about? General Jack Keane, a 4-star general, along with many others, says that this is a weaponized virus. A weaponized virus that more than likely was weaponized in Wuhan, China. All right? He's a very smart man. He has access to information we don't have access to. And he said it was weaponized. And so far, they haven't demonized him, run him off, shut him off, shut him down. And you can still hear him as he gets on all Fox News and maybe other places to give his assessment of what's happening. A weaponized virus immediately begs the question, who weaponized it? Why was it weaponized? And what is that leading to? That's a question. You got to answer that question. In other words, we're into germ warfare like we had in World War I. If you haven't been taught about that, and you should be, if the public school system hasn't taught you about the Civil War and the Spanish-American War and the war with Mexico and World War I and World War II and Vietnam and Desert Storm and all of that, that's a bunch of garbage. They're not teaching you anything. You're coming out of there and your head is as empty as it was when you went in. You don't have to be a scholar about this, but you need to know the building blocks of history, because that's what brings us to where we are right now. Why is this happening? Where did this come from? What is the motive behind this? What is this leading to? My friend, if it is a weaponized virus and it is something that was weaponized to be used in warfare, to be used against people, and obviously, if this is the case, it has killed millions of people. If a foreign enemy had invaded the shores of America and had killed tens of thousands of people in this country, don't you know we'd be in a shooting war right now? But I think I've learned, and I hope you've learned, that warfare now has completely changed. It's not what it used to be. Everybody wants to go back to the way it was before all of this started. Let me tell you something. You're never going to go back to the way it was before this started. A new world has started. A new reality. And you're going to deal with it. You got to deal with it, like it or not. I'm not a bearer of bad news. I'm not an alarmist. I'm simply a pastor that has to deal with the facts. We may be facing something that men have never faced before. This may be the prelude to a virus that is 1,000 times worse than that one. It could be that they're sending a message. It could be that more comes out later to tell you why this happened. Who knows? I don't know. But I do know this. I know the Lord Jesus Christ is still the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that God reigns. I know that. I know that. I know that without a question of a doubt. And then therefore the news media laughs. They laugh you to scorn. A year ago, if you said anything about this coming from Wuhan, China, that it wasn't passed out of a fish market or from animal to animal and so forth, if you believe that it was something that was created in a lab, then they laughed you to scorn. They mocked you and made fun of you. But now they are officially checking in to see if it did indeed come from Wuhan, China. This is what happened. This is the way it's going on. Mass confusion, manipulation of the mind. You don't know what, when, who, where to believe. But I'm going to tell you something once again, friends. Never believe CBS, NBC, and ABC, CNN, MSNBC, and the rest of them. And there's a lot of stuff on Fox you better make special attention to. Amen. The only truth you have is that book right there. That book. And that's why they hate that book. Because thy word is forever settled in heaven, O Lord. Not one jot, not one tittle shall ever pass from this word till it's all fulfilled. The word of God have I hidden my heart that I might not sin against God. The word of God. Thousands, yea, tens of thousands, yea, hundreds of thousands, yea, millions of people have died. But if you believe that this thing is something other than what they say it is, you're a conspirator. And if therefore they can demonize you with that word, you are a nut job. Anytime they use the word conspiracy, dear friend, that's exactly what they're saying. They're saying it's a nut job. They say you're a nut job. Now, let's give you something that I learned from Scripture. God's a gracious God. He warns. He sends warnings. Have you seen the warnings? Have you seen them? And only let me give you some of the warnings, all right? Here comes a virus out of nowhere. Never heard of it before. People start dying. All right, then you watch this control as these governors of the states begin to lock people down. Have you noticed the hypocrisy of these governors in these states across the country? Godless people. They have no morals, no conscience. They'll destroy you, a small businessman. They'll ruin you financially. Yet they'll walk out and they'll do as they please. All right. Now you're watching people die. Did you watch the governors take people, old people that were in nursing homes, take people that were infected with this stuff and put them into the nursing homes and watch these nursing home people die? How come they're not on charges? How come they're not being brought before the court? You're watching things happen. Now here's the greatest thing that's happening of all of this, and I want you to get a hold of it this morning. What's that? The fear factor. There's a fear factor in this country like you've never seen before. There are people right now, they'll go to Walmart, they'll go to Kmart, they'll go to Kroger's, they'll go to the family unions, they'll go to birth parties, and they'll go to everything else, but they can't come to church. Now, I didn't say that to make you mad, and I didn't say that to condemn you. I said that for you to wake up. Why wake up? Now, let me tell you something. Listen to me carefully. In Revelation 13, he says he'll cause all to receive a mark. A mark, all right? Now, how's he going to do that? How's he going to do it? How's he going to make you receive a mark? You see, we've had all kinds of preaching for decades on this, but how is he going to make you receive a mark? I'll tell you how he's going to make you. He's going to scare you to death, and he's going to control your movements. Did you know that the European Union right now is passing laws and preparing to give out vaccine passports? Do you understand that this virus is continually mutating, changing in form, this, that. In plain words, you can never get it under control, which means that there will be a perpetual control of the people, and you might as well get used to that. Look into the future, because this is what is coming. Are you scared to death? Well, this is what bothers me. And you listen to me carefully. This is what bothers me. If you are so scared to death of that virus, what would you do if you had to take the mark of the beast? You think of what I just told you. If you are so afraid for this life, if they told you you didn't take that mark, you'd take it. Because the same fear that keeps you where you are now would put you in the same situation then. You got to get it settled. Do it here on your knees. Do it at home. Do it somewhere. Lord God, if I die, I die. If I live, I live. How many of you know who Hadassah is? You don't, but you know who Esther is? Esther is one of the two women in the Bible that her book is named after. She said a remarkable thing. She said, maybe for it is this time that I am come. So whether I live, I live, or whether I die, I die. That woman had courage. And I respect courage. Anywhere I see it, I respect, even in the enemy, I respect courage. We're missing it, folks. We're missing courage. We're scared to death. And the world knows it. So what is our great message that we have for them? Tell me. Tell me what you have that they don't have that is so wonderful that you have. Oh, yeah, I know you got a bunch of stuff in here and you can sing songs, blah, blah, blah. But what have you got in your heart that makes you different from them? Because they're scared too. They are petrified. Have you seen the fights on the airplanes with a mask? One makes a mask, the other one doesn't, and so forth. They're beating each other down. Why? They're scared to death. That's why. You're not seeking death. You don't want to become a martyr. You're not a fool. But you say in your heart, there is something better than this world. And that is this book. Thailand has imposed a coronavirus curb. Sydney locks down as the Delta COVID-19 virus spreads. And here's what one of the learned men had to say about this. Listen carefully. I have absolutely no doubt that we are in the presence of evil. I must return to the issue of top-up vaccines, booster shots. And it is this whole narrative which I fear will be exploited and used to gain unparalleled power over us. Please warn every person not to go near top-up vaccines. There's absolutely no need for them. Yet they're being made by big pharma, and regulators have stood aside. No safety testing, in other words, and I can only deduce that they will be used for nefarious purposes. Let me say this about vaccines. Some of you have been vaccinated. Some of you, something inside that said no. Listen carefully to me. People have come to me and said, preacher, should I be vaccinated? It's not my place to tell you something like that. That's something you have to get settled with you and God. But you ought to do some praying about it. You ought to do some praying, because let me tell you something. I believe in being informed, don't you? Amen. I'm not going to make my decision because you look good. I'm not going to make my decision because I know you. I'm going to make my decision based on facts. Just do some research into vaccines. Once you've done the research and you, whatever decision you make it based upon the facts, what you have, what you know, then that's up to you. You do that. I am not going to encourage you one way or the other, but I'll tell you this. There's a lot of material out there that you need to be reading, because I've read it. And there's some things I could say to some of you this morning that would scare you to death. But I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I have to use some decorum here. I've got to be careful what I say. But a lot of things are happening. So should I be vaccinated or should I not? How many of you know what eugenics is? Eugenics? They talk about slavery, and they ought to. Slavery is a vicious, godless institution that should be wiped from the face of the earth. How many agree with that?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. But have you noticed how little you hear about eugenics? I'll bet you they didn't teach you that in school. Do you know why? Eugenics is one of the worst things that this country has ever gone through. You know what put it in eugenics? Darwin. They said, we're going to continue what Darwin started. In the plain words, Darwin told us about human evolution. Then we're going to deal with it in the issue of, we're going to breed. We're going to breed certain races in and certain races out. Man, preacher, what are you talking? Read it. Read. Study eugenics in America. And you know what happened? Adolf Hitler took it and he put it to work. He certainly did. He put it to work. Adolf Hitler said, I'll buy that. And of course, he had He had a lot of reasons for what he did, but he certainly did. So, what does that tell you? Well, you know, there's a small group of ultra-rich people that control the world. Unbelievably rich. Unbelievably. You know, the billionaires that have $110, $120 billion, that's nothing to these people. We're talking about people who've amassed a fortune probably in the trillions of dollars. They are immensely wealthy. And you know what? They're watching the use of eugenics in a different way in this country today. How many's ever heard of the Georgia Guidestones? The Georgia Guidestones, shrouded in mystery. Who did it? When were they? What all? They don't know. They don't know. They don't know. But on the surface of the Georgia Guidestones, it simply says that the earth must be depopulated down to a certain number. This eugenicist movement has never died. It simply has morphed and has moved into where it is today. In plain words, there is a cabal, no doubt in my mind about it, of super rich, super elite that are running this world. And it is not the man in the White House. They come and they go. It is not the Congress. They come and they go. It is who will be here this week, next week, next week, next week, and next week. The Great Reset. How many's ever heard of that?
Amen.
The Great Reset. A one world order under a small, ultra-rich elite in which the eugenicists call the shots. Human beings will soon receive a chip which will be implanted in their bodies in order to merge with the digital world. And that's coming. That's coming. That's coming. And some say that there is an element of that in the vaccines. Not all of them, but in some of them. Once again, read for yourself. Astrid Stuckelberger, this woman is a Swiss medical doctor. She's a former WHO insider, World Health Organization insider. Big shot. She says that mRNA vaccines, you heard of them, are bioweapons driven by an eugenics and depopulation agenda. What is shocking, she says, is that they're all saying exactly the same thing. All media, all newspapers, all airports, in UN countries, they're all saying the same thing. That's obvious that they're drinking from the same fountain. It's obvious that they're not real journalists. They're simply talking heads, and that's what you're getting. And she says that the experts advising the decision makers have been bought. Their advice has been contradicted, now note carefully, by real scientists who are not published because the media also has been bought. Here's how it works. You have peer reviews. You publish a paper. They print it in the New England Magazine of Medicine. I forget what it's called, whatever it is. And you have them all over the country. You have peer reviews. These scientists do the research and they publish a paper and then they make it available to all the others, their peers, their equals. And they can read it and they can make comparisons and so forth, comment on it. That's all. That's nothing wrong with it. That's a good thing, I think. I say to you once again, debate is a good thing. Two opposing views is a good thing. I'm not have a problem with teaching Darwin, but you ought to teach creation on the other hand too. I think it's a good thing. Take these kids, put them in a classroom, and let them see both sides. Say, now here, we'll compare the two. All right? Let's compare creationism with Darwinism. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with opposing voices? What's wrong with debate? What's wrong with it? Let me tell you something. Anybody that will not let you debate he wants to control your mind. Everything you think. And so the real scientists are not published. They're not in the peer review. They're not published. Why? Because they do not agree with the agenda. Now, this is 2021. This is June. It's about 15 months since all this started. Have you seen anything happen that's alerted you? Are you alarmed? Have you seen anything happen that you feel like the hand of God's in it and preparing you? Here's what he says in 2 Thessalonians 2. Because they love not the truth, but took pleasure in unrighteousness, For this cause God shall send them a strong delusion. They may believe a lie and be damned. Janice Berry sent me a wonderful video the other day. In Ireland, these people have created this huge giant. And its arms move, its head moves. Well, that's not really the problem. The problem is this. They've got a booth. You can step into that booth, and it will project your image up on that giant. Not with a projector, but with some kind of high technology. And that giant looks just like you. In plain words, here you are, this giant, and you look like you're alive. Now, the people that are doing this aren't doing this in a religious context. They're doing this in the secular world. They say, this is going to make money. Now, don't you think about it for a minute. It says in Revelation 13 that he has power to give life to the image of the beast. The image of the beast. Think about a man who walks in there and they project his image or create however that's done. His image, he literally becomes this giant. And the false prophet says, that's the one to worship right there. He's the answer to all of your problems, all of your, and boy, are they not mounting. He's the answer. He's the answer. And you know what they're going to do? Many of these good old church people, they're going to fall down before him. You know what the Bible says about the second coming of the Lord? He says that he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. For what? For those that look for his appearing. That's what it says. For those that look for his appearing. I'm looking for him to come. I really am. It's taken me quite some time to get to where I am this morning. Quite some time. And a lot of the things that I touched on in here this morning, I am certainly no authority on it. But I can see on the surface of it. I can see where it's headed. I can see where it's taking us, folks. You will be surprised at how much more of your freedom is going to be taken away from you in the near future. And when they take your freedom away from you, that means they're going to control you. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. Father, in thy name we pray. Thank you for this little time we had together this morning. I hope somebody had ears to hear that they heard. I hope somebody listened. I hope somebody out there that bothered them, that they'll do something about what I'm talking about. I hope they'll search their heart and search their soul, Father. I hope they'll understand that maybe a time like this is a good time for them to really look at themselves and say, do I really believe? Am I a real believer? Am I a real Christian? Or has all my life been spent living in fairyland? Maybe it's for that too. In Jesus' name I pray, Father, and for Jesus' sake I ask it. Lord, I say as John did on Patmos, even so come. Lord Jesus, come. Amen. Now this morning, the image of God is being assaulted. The image of God is being assaulted. That's what this is about. Tonight, we'll talk about it. Noah's Ark and the image of God. What have we got, brother?